1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show, your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
Hi, welcome to the program. Glad to have you with me today, the solo act, no guest. Just kind of an update today, not a lot of audio. Going to just get a cut from Matt about last night's game. Some technical issues on my end from a cable that I'm having an issue with, so not able to get the full interview up as I had hoped from post-game last night. But nevertheless, the Racers getting the win. And as we told you, we thought it would be a very tough game, and it turned out that it was. But the Racers get an 85-75 victory over UT Martin. Turned out to be a terrific contest for John Morant, as he put in 30 points, also dished out 9 assists, had 3 turnovers in the first half, didn't have any in the second half. Really played a terrific game. And for Ja, he'll be trying to see if his team can maybe win 3 more games and get a share of a conference championship, at least a share. They'll need some help to win it outright, but the Racers fully control a share of a conference championship if they win out. And they'll get Southeast Missouri. They'll have to go on the road and be a tough Moorhead team, then back home a week from Saturday against Austin Peay to get that done. But last night, kind of one of those, I think Matt McMahon said it best, one of those grinded out games that you get a lot of times in mid, late February, late in the conference season. You have a team in Martin trying to solidify its stand to get into the tournament. And in Murray State, they're trying to win a conference championship, so two separate agendas. But Martin playing well. They're shorthanded. They have 4 players who are hurt. That is really odd in basketball to have that many injuries late in the season. It's impacted them, but the addition of Craig Randall has certainly helped. He had 19 points last night. So did Quentin Dove. Kenny really likes Dove, just the intensity that he plays with, and it really is good. But the Racers able to get the victory. Darnell Coar, tremendous again last night. He was our Murray Lumber Player of the Game. By the way, if anyone wonders, that is selected by Murray State. We do not ever select that. So they kind of run different guys out from time to time, so you get to hear from different players. So it may not be someone who had the best numbers, but they are the player of the game. And Coar, he certainly deserved it last night, though, as he had 22 points, 13 rebounds. Jack Buchanan, 11 points. Racers with a really awful shooting night from three-point range, but they made 68% of their shots from two-point range and also had 5 turnovers in the game. Did a great job taking care of the ball, defended well enough, wasn't a great night defensively, not going to say that, but it was one where the Racers played well enough against a really talented Martin team. And Kenny and I talked about this during the broadcast. This is going to be a dangerous team in the tournament, but next year they're going to add Coach Stewart's son, I think, Prince, maybe is his name. They're going to add him. They're going to have Randall. They're going to be good. They're going to have Quentin Dove returning. I'm going to pencil them, and I don't even know what they have from a recruiting standpoint, but just as what they have returning, they're going to have to be in the top 4 in the league, in my opinion. They're going to be good next year. So Martin fans, they have to be very excited. But right now, the Racer fans are excited because the Racers are 22-4, 13-2 in the Ohio Valley Conference, and again, on track, if they can continue to win, to play for a conference championship a week from Saturday night, if they continue to win. Southeast Missouri, the opponent on this Saturday, and the Redhawks come in dire straits. We'll check the standings in a moment. They have 2 double-digit scorers. Ladarius Brewer leading the way, 13 points a game. Skylar Hogan, 10.6 points per contest. Decent game last time. Double-figure effort from Sage Tolbert, 6'8", freshman, also in the starting lineup. One senior is all they start, and that's Jonathan Dalton, 5'10 guy. But Southeast Missouri has really struggled to defend. They give up 75.6 points per game. However, their defense actually has improved since the last meeting. They're now holding teams to 32% shooting from three-point range on the season, 45% overall field goal percentage defense, and those are both areas where they have improved. They'll come to Murray 9-19. They are 4-11 in the Ohio Valley Conference, and as we check the standings, you have Belmont and Murray State locked in a first-place tie. Austin Peay and Jacksonville State locked in a third-place tie at 12-3. Murray State and Belmont 13-2. solidly in number five for the moment. Eastern Illinois, 7 and 8. Then Moorhead right behind them, 6 and 9. Here comes the logjam after that. Eastern Kentucky, 5 and 10. UT Martin, 5 and 10. SIUE, 5 and 10. Tennessee State, 5 and 10. In 11th place, Southeast Missouri, 4 and 11. So you can see the situation they're in. Last year, they were ineligible to make the tournament. This year, they're eligible, but will they have enough wins? They certainly need this one against Murray State to make a case for themselves. Tennessee Tech, if they lose tomorrow, they're 3 and 12. They're in the cellar. If they lose and two of those 10 lost teams pick up victories, Tech is out of the tournament. And Southeast Missouri awfully close to letting that happen to them as well. The results from yesterday, Rick Berg picking up his 800th career win. Belmont wins 99-58 over Eastern Illinois. Jacksonville State, they had to make a late run. They trailed most all of the game. But Moorhead State unable to get it done right at the end. Jacksonville State coming back, winning 65-64. Tennessee State, they battled from 17 points down. Take the lead late in the second half. And Daniel Kinchin buries a buzzer beater three, and SIUE wins 85-84 in Nashville against Tennessee State. Eastern Kentucky, they had a double-digit lead, nearly blew it, but they held on at Tennessee Tech to win 67-66. And Austin Peay, they had a battle for a while against Southeast Missouri. SIMO making threes, but that fell off. SIMO had 5 offensive rebounds last night. Austin Peay had 20. They ended up having 20 more shots than Southeast Missouri, and they win by a score of 83-70. So on the menu on Saturday, a couple of early games tipping at 4. UT Martin at Austin Peay, Eastern Kentucky at Jacksonville State. SIU at Belmont tips off at 5. Southeast Missouri, Murray State at 7. And the late 7:30 games, Eastern Illinois at Tennessee State and Moorhead State is at Tennessee Tech. So Eastern Illinois and Moorhead State, they with a win tomorrow, Eastern Illinois, they can clinch a certain spot in there. And Moorhead, I think, basically can do that if they pick up a victory. So we'll see how that certainly all plays out. But it's a 7 o'clock projected tip-off time. We know it won't tip at 7, closer to 7:30 most likely, as Murray State goes up against Southeast Missouri. Now, on the women's side, a terrific win. It was close. Yeah, we were sweating it a little bit. I'll admit that. But Macy Turley, 21 points. Janika Griffith-Wallace, 19. Murray State's women holds off UT Martin, 76-73. Murray up 18 at the half. But Martin scored more than 30 points in the fourth quarter. The Racers turning it over to feverish pace. They ended up with 25 turnovers. However, defensively is where they won this. They held UT Martin to 38% shooting from the field, 21% beyond the arc. That's the reason they're winning games. Defense has been terrific. The offense, when they get more than 3 scores, they're good enough to win, as we saw last night. But I'm telling you, a recipe to lose, and Rochelle Turner knows this as well as anybody, is 25 turnovers. Very difficult to overcome that. The Racers had to really play well in lots of areas to do that, and they did. Also, congratulations to Evelyn Adebayo. She had 18 points, 12 rebounds. That's 17 double-doubles. No Murray State player has ever had that in women's basketball history. That is a new single-season record. Racers return to the CFSB Center for a 5 p.m. game tomorrow against Southeast Missouri. Airtime 4:30. That's going to be on 1340 WNBS. Same schedule for the women, but let's check the women's standings. Belmont atop the standings at 14-1. They're going to win the league. That's a given. Tennessee Tech now in second place, 11-4. They're the only team that's beaten Belmont this season, and that loss hurt Martin, but Moorhead State lost as well. So a tie for third place between Martin and Moorhead State. Now, remember, the women's tournament, they go 1 through 8. There are no byes. So at the end of it, 8 plays 1, 2 plays 7, 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5. That's the way that works. 4 teams are eliminated, just like on the men's side. But again, they do it differently. So your top 4 teams, Belmont, Tech, Martin, Moorhead State. Austin Peay is in 5th at 9-6. Then here comes the long jam on the women's side. Jacksonville State, SIUE, SEMO, Murray State, all at 7-8. Basically out of the tournament, Eastern Illinois 4-11, Tennessee State 4-11, Eastern Kentucky 0-15. But one of those 4-7-8 teams likely will be bounced from the tournament. Now, the Racers, if they beat Southeast Missouri, they're going to really look good in tiebreakers. They'll win head-to-head against Southeast Missouri because they've already beaten them once. They'll be 2-0. They're 1-1 against SIUE. They're 1-0 against Jacksonville State. So if they get into a four-team tie, they're 4-1. That's going to be tough to beat. Racers own the tiebreaker on Jacksonville State. If they get the two wins against Southeast Missouri, they'll own that against Southeast Missouri. And they're even up against SIU Edwardsville. So for the Racers, it is a monster game against Southeast Missouri. If they win that one and then they can beat Austin Peay next Saturday, they're in. They might get in without doing that, but they're going to need at least one win to make that happen. It's best to just get that out of the way. It'll be a tough one now to go to Morehead State next Thursday and pick up a victory. Not to say that it can't be done, but they really had big matchup issues in the game played here in Murray, and I'm not sure if that's going to really improve a lot. Maybe some, but I'm not sure if it'll improve a lot. Rochelle Turner's a terrific coach. Maybe she can come up with a way for the Racers to kind of negate some of the size and athleticism that Morehead State has at multiple positions. But it would be best, I think, if the Racers would go ahead and take care of Southeast Missouri, pick up a win there, and then set their sights, on winning both next week. I'm not saying ignore it, but if they can win against SEMO, big win against Martin, then beat Austin Peay, they're in. They're going to get into the tournament. Still might, but beating Southeast Missouri will go a long way to doing that. And again, it's the same schedule for the women. It's Martin at Austin Peay, Eastern Kentucky at Jacksonville State, SIUE at Belmont, SEMO at Murray State, Eastern Illinois at Tennessee State, and Morehead State going up against Tennessee Tech. So Morehead State, their chance to get that number two seed pretty much hinges on what they're able to do against Tennessee Tech. So that's the way the women's tournament shakes out for the moment. Now let's have a look at the high school basketball. Let me get right to the correct page. That'll certainly help. Last night, Murray High claiming a pair of 4th District Tournament Championships at Callaway County's Jeffrey Gymnasium. In the girls' game, Lizzie Curtis buried a buzzer-beating three-pointer. Murray High beat Marshall County 43-41. Murray's won 3 buzzer beaters this year. They've lost 1 buzzer beater. 4 in a season. Wyatt Faust, obviously his heart's in terrific shape because he's still alive. Because man, that's going through it. Parker Greer with a big night, 14 points. Curtis finished with 11. The Murray girls, 25-3, heading into next week's Region 1 tournament. They'll be the favorite. Grace County's playing well, too, though. So that's going to be quite the tournament. And heck, Marshall County, they're within a shot of beating Murray last night. So you got to pencil them in as one of the teams to possibly beat, too. You put Callaway County in there, but they didn't make it. And we knew that was going to happen. We knew one of the best teams in the region wouldn't be in the regional tournament because 3 of the best teams in the region reside in District 4. Now, on the boys' side, by the way, the girls will play either Wednesday or Thursday. They flipped the tournaments this year. Boys' tournament first in the state, and the girls' tournament will follow the next week. Both of those, by the way, at Rupp Arena in Lexington. Now, in the boys' game, Hunter Utley, 18 points. Grant Whitaker chipped in with 14. Murray High defeated Marshall County 59-46. The Murray boys improved to 15-12. They'll play either Monday or Tuesday in the Region 1 tournament. The tourney draw set for Saturday, so we won't know anything until then. Now, only one other girls' tournament was decided last night in the region as Graves County beat Mayfield 53-31. So we know Graves and Murray, they'll go in as winners, and Mayfield and Marshall County will go in as runners-up. On the boys' side, it is all decided. Murray will go in as a winner along with Mayfield, McCracken County, and Carlisle County. Your runners-up, Fulton County, Tillman, Graves County, and Marshall County. In District 1, Carlisle with a nail-biter, 60-58 over Fulton County. McCracken County holds off Tillman 43-35. Game of the night on every level had to be this one. And that is Mayfield beating Graves County in triple overtime, 79-78. Wow. 3 times this season, Mayfield has defeated Graves County. Graves has all the seniors, but Mayfield getting it done. That, I tell you, the boys' tournament is going to be tremendous. And the championship game this year is going to be played on a Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I'm going to pencil that in. Can't wait to see that. That's going to be a terrific, terrific championship game. Doesn't really matter who's in it. It could be Mayfield, could be Graves, could be Murray. Who knows? Could be Marshall County, McCracken County, Tillman, probably your first district. I would say those likely not going to make it. It would be a shocker if you see Carlisle County or Fulton County in the championship, but You never know. That's why they play them. Congratulations in order to the Murray State track and field team as the women's team. They take second place at the Ohio Valley Conference Indoor Championships. The Racers pick up three individual titles en route to a second place overall finish. Tamber Lawrence won gold in the 60 meters. She took gold in the 200 meters. And Hillary McAdam claimed gold in the 800 meters. What a day it was. Murray State finishes with 107.5 points. Tennessee Tech won the event with 119. Eastern Kentucky takes the men's title with 129 points. But kudos to Murray State and the indoor OVC championship. Due to expected rain, Murray State's weekend baseball series against Miami, Ohio has been rearranged. The Racers and Redhawks will begin a series with a 1 p.m. doubleheader Sunday, and then a single game is set for noon on Monday. They were supposed to start that series today. You've seen the forecast. Not going to happen. Murray State softball in Raleigh, North Carolina this weekend, part of the Fairfield Inn and Suites Crabtree Invitational. The Racers begin play at 10 in the morning against UMBC. The 4-6 Racers will play Georgia Southern on Sunday and North Carolina State on Sunday as well as Monday. On the ice, the Preds beat the Kings 2-1 in Nashville. The Blues winning streak over at 11. They lost to the Stars 5-2 in Dallas. You want some baseball? You got baseball. If the weather permits in Florida. St. Louis Cardinals play their first exhibition game tomorrow against the Marlins. Miles Michaelis and Jack Flaherty expected to pitch in the Grapefruit League opener, Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. St. Louis will be the road team. The Cardinals play the Nationals Sunday, and you can hear both games with airtime set for 11:55 Saturday and Sunday on 1340 WNBS. And no, we don't have the pocket schedules in yet. We'll be getting them soon, but they are not in yet. That's going to wrap it up for the show. Thank you so much for being with us as it's been a fun week. Hopefully it'll be a good one next week, too. Coming up next week, we'll have Ed Marlowe. I think Ed is going to join me for a show that we'll have to record Tuesday, the men heading out early Wednesday morning. I believe we're leaving at 9 o'clock to head to Moorhead State for that one-game road swing as they wrap up road play on the season. Have a terrific weekend, and we'll see you back here next week.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.